We're going to read in two places, two short verses, the first in the book of Daniel, in the first chapter and the ninth verse. It says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." And then we're going to turn to Proverbs 16th chapter, the 7th verse, and it says, "And when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." You know, we read this about Daniel, and we thought that it was interesting, the position that Daniel found himself in. We know that Daniel was a young man, I guess you'd say, that was here, and he wanted to do the Lord's will. We know that he was willing to resist, as it were, the status quo, that so many times it's just easy to go with the flow and not say nothing or do nothing. After all, surely the Lord would understand that he was in a foreign land, that there was foreign customs that took place, and yet Daniel here said that he would not, it says here, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. So we know that Daniel found himself over here in Babylon, not because of his own disobedience. It wasn't because he rejected the ways of God, because we know that Daniel feared the Lord and that he wanted to do what was right, but still yet he found himself in a foreign land, not being able to go to the temple of the Lord back there in Israel, that he had no means in which he could come before a high priest and have a sacrifice, so that he tried to serve the Lord the best he could right where he was, and he wasn't comfortable in sitting down and eating those things that had been offered to idols. And the Bible says here that he come and he found favor and tender love in the eyes of the Lord. I think sometimes that we ourselves, that we lose sight of exactly what the Lord's doing for us, because we have goggles on, as it were. You know, my wife, she bought for Lee or for Jubal, them viewfinders. I guess they've been out. I don't know when the first ones was, but I know that. Boy, I guess it was back in the 70s, I know that they had them. But you know what was so neat about those things? That you could take something so small, just a little flat disc, and you could slide it in this viewfinder. I know that they've changed them since that they first came out, because at one time the light come right through the front of the machine, and now it comes through the top of it. But anyhow, I can remember as a little kid, you'd slide that in there and you'd look, and my goodness, there would be a big old dinosaur or a big old lion or tiger. You know, the devil would have us to look at our problems, as it were, through a viewfinder, but the Lord would have us to look at them as he sees them, as just some inanimate object that's flat, that's really not a problem at all. And the Bible says that if a man's ways please the Lord, that he'll even make his enemies to be at peace with him. I think this is what we find with Daniel when he was there, and the prince of the eunuchs found favor with him and the three Hebrew children. I wonder why it was. I maybe they themselves didn't even know why. That he was just pleasing to them. And it says with tender love that they cared about what happened to Daniel. But we find out that also that we ourselves might be in that the same particular situation. You know, we live in a country where one had freedom to worship the Lord as he would see fit. But we're not necessarily promised that for the next generation. But one thing we are promised, though we might not have the open freedom to serve the Lord as our forefathers, that we can find our place as Daniel did, and stand up for that which is right, and that the Lord will cause those to look favorably upon us because he loves us and he wants us to have an easy life. Though I'm afraid not, that's not his purpose, but we are here to bring glory unto him. I kind of like the thought that the Lord can make my enemies at peace with me, even in the midst of a war. It's kind of nice to know that the Lord can cause
to not be able to feel, as it were, the daggers that our enemies might throw at us. You know, there's something nice about the fact that we can be at peace in the midst of turmoil. Let's look at Daniel and what has God done for him. You know, some might say, you can't trust in the Lord. He'll lead you in the middle of the lion's den. But I'm telling you, you can trust the Lord because He'll lead you in the middle of the lion's den. What we call some not to doubt and some not to want to follow the path that a Christian must take. We can rejoice and know that we are not going to the lion's den to become a lion's meal. Glorified, that our enemies might burn our barns, but it's all right. After all, once they're left, you know the old saying that you should not burn bridges. Why is that? Because you might need to cross them. Well, you know what? At times in our lives, with those who would choose to burn bridges between us and them, we sometimes think the awful tragedy of it all. Once the bridge is burned, it's burned. You can't re-burn a burnt bridge. Glory to God. And He can make you at peace with your enemies. He can elevate you and place you upon a mountain where it don't hurt anymore. And though you might shed tears, it's for their own welfare and not your own. Aren't you glad that when we serve the Lord, that we need not to shed tears wondering what's going to happen to me and you? But we got reason to shed tears for our enemies, because the Bible tells me that the enemies of God, and I pray that our enemies are the enemies of God, that each and every one of us can rejoice and know that the Lord will use them for His glory. And just as He did these princes of the prince of the eunuchs, and those that found favor with Daniel. Daniel went against the king's order, and we don't realize the seriousness of that. People disobey orders all the time. I guess even the way they condition our troops in boot camp is so much different than it was years ago. You know, my understanding and some of what I've seen, they almost reason with the green troops and explain to them why this is the smart thing to do. Oh, you know, years ago, that wasn't how they done it. They didn't begin to tell you, we do this because this is the best way. But they just declared, you're going to do this because this is the Marine Corps way, or this is the U.S. Army way. And it doesn't matter. It don't have to make sense to you or not. You're going to do it because you've been told to do it. But today we find ourselves that when somebody gives an order, they'll even say that the most effective leaders are those that are able to explain exactly what they're going to do, are effective communicators. Well, it's not always been that way, but I'm afraid today when we read the Word of God and we hear somebody standing up as Daniel did, I don't think that even though we know he was thrown in the lion's den, that there in the very first chapter of Daniel, when he decided to disobey what would seem a simple commandment, that I'm not going to eat that which is offered before idols. You'd say, well, what's the big deal about that? There was people. We remember Esther. Esther Esther couldn't even come before the king without being put to death, that he had to go and he had to offer his scepter, as it were, or it was a given that she was to die. And so we know that people just didn't do it on a whim, decide I'll do this or I'll do that without the consequences. But yet Daniel found favor in the prince, and they didn't even know that the prince of the eunuch thought, oh, God's placed me, or rather the king has placed me above all these men. He did not know that there was one higher than the king, and that the king would eat, or that the God of Israel would even endear these that were of a foreign nation and a foreign land, so that he himself would risk everything. Now think about it. It's not too far a stretch of one's imagination that the king of Edom found out that the prince of the eunuch would contrary to the commandments of the king, that not only Daniel and the three Hebrew children, but the one that had been elevated to a position of power could have it stripped from him, and worst case scenario, a kill. But God endeared Daniel to this one who even did not recognize the God of Israel. Why? Because God willed it so. And that same God is looking out for my interest and your interest. If our interest is the will and the ways of God. Oh, there's been so many that have went and ran to and fro from congregation to congregation and said, and expounded on the power of positive thinking and trusting in the Lord and claiming power that we ought not to claim. And all we have to do is name it and claim it, and the Lord will give us the wealth and the riches of this world. But you know what? If God was to do so, such as that, it wouldn't be to hoard and to hide and to beg for more, but He would only give it to us in order that we might redistribute it to others. But anyhow, I'm thankful and blessed in knowing that when this world, as it were, would seem to change as the winds of a change blow and people's opinions change, it's a wonderful thing, is it not, to live within a community where everybody thinks well of you. But listen, God's still in control. If you live in a community where everybody thinks evil of you, He can still cause those in places of power to find favor on His children. And if He would choose so, He can even cause those in places of power that have hatred for you to even cause you to be placed in a precarious position. But let us not weep or wring our hands and say, oh, what is next? But let us trust in the Lord. Let us be thankful for the time to be spent in prayer. You know, Daniel was a praying man. The Bible teaches me that he prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and night. Well, I reckon when he was thrown in that lion's den, that nightly prayer probably lasted a little longer than it normally did. But aren't you glad because of his willingness to stand out and be different? He was able to see his enemies, and I speak about them, the hungry lions, that had their mouths shut and proclaimed the truth to the king when the king came and said, is the God of Daniel, or rather is Daniel alive? And Daniel answered that the Lord had heard his prayer. Listen to me now, each and every one of us, we've been placed right where we're at. Some people, their life might be easier than others, but one thing is certain, that if we please the Lord, that He will cause our enemies to be at peace with us. Listen now, that don't necessarily mean every time that we'll live in a land of peace, as some of us have been blessed with, but that we can live in a nation facing a turmoil and still be at peace with our enemies, even when they would seek to do us harm. And why is that? Because the peace that us Christians possess comes so long ago, way back there, when the shepherds first heard of it, from the angels from above, when they begin to sing about the Prince of Peace. If we've got him in our armor, it doesn't really matter what happens in this life. Well, of course it does, Daryl. Because how can I be at peace when I'm scared half to death? You know, we was just in Sunday school. I think that we think too a little of God. We say, yes, I believe in an all-powerful God. I believe in a God that's present everywhere. I believe a God that knows everything. But really what I'm faced with really got me worried. Well, this is the only question, or the only answer to all the questions in our mind that we really need to seek out and find out as Christians. First, if you're not born again, you need to determine in your... This is a very important question you need to ask. When I stand before God, will I be found wanting? Or will Jesus Christ be my Savior? But us that are Christians, that have seek God's face, repented of our sins, and asked Jesus to come into our hearts, the only answer to any question that we have, because that's what the devil would try to do to us a lot of times, or even just the flesh, to inundate us with so many questions that we can't think on any one long enough to come up with any valid answer. But this is the only thing that we need to determine when we are faced with this trouble and we say, is it, what are we going to do? I don't know. Am I to do this or am I to do that? The Bible says in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, the 7th verse, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. There is hard things and troubles that come to God's children. Oh, those things that when we are out of the way, when we are... when we have become neglectful preoccupied with the cares of this world that we might leave undone, or when we would become so rebellious and disobedient as to say, I will not do this and this, that the Lord will bring hardships in our life. And so that when hardships come, we should seek the Lord's face. And we should pray until we find peace in knowing, is Daryl pleasing before God? Is what Daryl doing, is it that which brings honor and glory to the Lord? And if it is, well then we can rest in knowing that though these hardships, and though they might be hard, they will bring about honor and glory for the Lord. Instead of being so worried, would God lead me to dwell in the lion's den? We can rejoice. And with exuberant expectation, wonder, what is God going to do in this here lion's den? Do you see how sometimes I think that we live such lackadaisical lives that we are constantly worrying when bad things, as it were, and really they're not bad, are they? But when things that would bring us discomfort happens, why is this happening to me? Oh, why can't... I don't understand. And because we have been conditioned in our culture today to think that the Christian life is an easy life. Because we live in a culture today that men have been able to freely express their ideals with very little consequences. People are able to expound heresy
able to expound on those things that are not only contradictory to our culture, but contradictory to the Bible, and experience no consequence whatsoever. But a Christian in a Muslim country who declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If he was a Muslim, he is faced, as it were, with the sentence of death. If not by the state, by his relatives. If not by his relatives, by his wife's kin. Because to claim to be a Christian is to bring dishonor to all of your family. But us that are Americans, you can believe what you will. You're free to choose. It doesn't matter. And because of it, I think a lot of times we really don't concentrate and think about what we believe at all. But if our beliefs had consequences presently in this life, if our opinions brought about decisions that would affect the welfare of my children and the welfare of my wife and whether I had a job or not, well then these are questions in our mind that we would have to find answers to. But since they don't, I declare to you they do. Just because I make a decision for the Lord, or for that matter to disobey the Lord, and that I don't reap the consequences here in this life, we think somehow that it's not important. We think somehow that these things don't matter. But God, as He looks down upon us, and as He tenderly tries to communicate to us His will for our life and the peace that we can have, I've seen so many people that have struggled through their life, one issue after another, and they've always, as it would seem, just played at the edges. They'd go to church, but not faithfully. They would pray, but not continually. They would speak all the words, the church language, as it were, and you would see them struggle from one tragedy right after another. And they would never understand that the God who sent His Son was the same God that longed to heal their hurts. And that once we surrender to His ways, that rod of correction becomes a rod of protection. That rod that chastised us will now be a rod that will defend us. That God who seemed to be such an authoritarian will be a God that loves and protects that which is His. Let's get some song to sing. Does your ways please the Lord? Well then, if and they do, He can make your enemies to be at peace with you. I've been amazed at what can actually happen to one. In my own life, those things that cut me like a knife, that the Lord can heal wounds, and that when these very things that hurt so bad are spoken once again, there can come a peace. You know, I'm afraid that when people hear that verse that we read in Proverbs, that He can make His enemies to be at peace with Him, They just think in the terms of the fact that if I'm at war with an enemy, that we will resolve our differences and that we'll no longer be enemies. But it doesn't say that He will make our enemies be our friends, does it? I wish it were that way, that the devil's children would become the friends of God. The Bible does not promise us a friendship with the wicked. But what it does promise us is peace. And I thought it was interesting. We see where in Israel they had them bombings. And they said that they had been at peace for 3 months because they had a ceasefire for three months. They had a ceasefire for 3 months. That wasn't peace, was it? You're not at peace with an enemy for 3 months and then start shooting over 60 missiles into that country every day. Because see, during that peace, that so-called peace, that ceasefire is all that you call it, somebody was preparing for war, weren't they? Somebody was bringing them missiles and placing them missiles within reach of the borders of Israel. Two men or two countries that are at peace with each other aren't planning for war. That's just called a lull in the fighting, isn't it? But yet we sometimes misconstrue what peace is. And so that we think somehow that God will quit or calls us, our enemies, to be our friends. But the Bible doesn't give us that promise, but He can give us peace, even in the midst of turmoil. And those things that would otherwise hurt us will just fall off of us, as it were, as water on a duck's back. And you know, I know in my own relationships, that's been something that we've had to contemplate with. When somebody burns a bridge, when somebody's declared that they don't want to have nothing to do with your God, now how do you reach out to that person? How do you communicate to them that you still love them? Well, I think you just tell them. You tell them when you see them. You tell them when you have the opportunity. But I don't know that you continue to build those bridges that people are adamantly burning. But I'm thankful that the Lord has commanded each and every one of us that if we pray, that He'll hear our prayers, and that we are to pray for our enemies. And that when we pray for our enemies, if there is any bridge to be built, we are to let the Lord do that. And we are to trust in Him and look to Him. And in doing so, He can truly bring a peace, a reconciliation, as it were, with an enemy, if those enemies choose to be a friend of God. Or He can bring us at peace with one that is the devil himself, when they would say mean and hurtful things. It can be as if it was just a tale that you heard of someone else spoken about somebody else. And I'm thankful that the Lord, that we don't have to be victims of our circumstances, and that the Lord can elevate us above all of these things, and that just as Daniel found himself in dire straits, the Lord blessed him in order that he might receive the glory. Not Daniel himself, but the Lord lifted up Daniel and put him in a position in order that all of those princes might see that the God of Israel is real, and that He can shut the mouths of lions, that He can cause a man to eat nothing but vegetables and become strong and mighty and as healthy as all of those that had all that a king would want offered to idols. Go ahead. the beauty of serving the Lord. If we live and are at peace with Him, and that if we please Him, then He will make, will bring a peace between us and our enemies. But those that reject the ways of God, the Bible said that there is no peace for the wicked.